a quick word on the first reading from Romans, because it's often misunderstood, and I think it was one of the main texts referenced in the Reformation, but the idea of, like, you're not saved by works in which you do, you're saved only by grace. You're saved only by faith, and you don't have to do anything for salvation. It's just worth clarifying that, like, faith and conversion still imply a change of works, a change of life, a change of values, and that is reflected in your actions. And St. James would obviously insist on that. Show me your faith without works. It's empty. I'll show you my faith with works, and you will see my faith. It's real. And a little distinction, like, because I think when St. Paul is speaking about works of the law, the word law, you could say works of the Torah, especially circumcision. That was a whole issue for the first 30 years of Christianity. So, no, the Gentiles did not need to be circumcised, the Holy Spirit told the apostles. But they still had to change their ways. They still had to follow the ways of Christ, reflected in their actions and their works. So just to understand that from the Catholic perspective, it's faith, grace, and works as we try to turn our lives more and more towards Christ. I want to focus just a little bit on St. Calixtus, because it's one of the fascinating periods of history. And the Holy Spirit having to guide the church around things that Jesus hadn't spoken about specifically. Explicitly. Circumcision was one thing that came up as an early discussion in the church, and the records of the Holy Spirit guiding the church through that infallibly are in the New Testament, in the Acts of the Apostles. But fast forward only 100, 200 years later, the church is suffering persecution. The church is under pressure. And just imagine the scene of you next to your brother, next to your friend, next to your neighbor, all Christians, you see each other every Sunday. And the government has decided that some of your teachings are against the nation, are not tolerable. And the government has had an intolerant view towards your faith. And you are no longer allowed to publicly practice that faith. In fact, as a sign of that, you need to worship the emperor. You need to pay homage to this law of government and change your ways to reflect that of the government or the nation. And one by one, you each stand firm and hold fast. No, I'm a Christian. I will not do that. That goes against my faith and my conscience and my God. And one by one, this is 200 AD, each of you is killed. One dies, the next dies, the third one's executed, the fourth one says, actually, I'm just kidding. Let me just, I was just kidding. I'm not really a Christian. Those guys are crazy. I'm over here. And he lives, and the rest die for their faith in Christ. And he lives. The church, for the next 100 years, is confronting the question, what do you do with that guy? Once the persecution ends, are you still allowed to come to Mass? Are you still allowed to go to confession? You denied your faith. That's unforgivable. Or is it? And that was the question of St. Calixtus. And he's the Pope, he's the Holy Father, and he's realizing this is a little bit after that period of persecution, that some of those who denied their faith are now sorry they did so, and humbly, sincerely, seeking to be reconciled to the truth and to their church, and he's allowing them. And St. Hippolytus, who wasn't a saint at the time, says, that's nonsense. They're out of here. No refunds. They gave it up. They're not allowed to come back. They betrayed us. And so he sets himself up as an anti-pope. Callistus is wrong. That church is going the wrong way. I'm the real church. You guys come over here, the Puritan church, like the pure and those who did not deny their faith. We're over here. Anyway, long story short, they did reconcile. They were both martyred, but Calixtus was shown, or he continued to persevere in that teaching. The church embraced that teaching. There is no unforgivable sin where there is sincere contrition. The only sin you can't be forgiven is the one that you don't ask forgiveness for. So it's worth reminding ourselves that the church has been through these moments. The Holy Spirit has guided the church through confusing moments. And the church still stands strong that, no, God loves the sinner, seeks for the sinner to repent, and where there's sincere repentance, the door to mercy is never shut. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us to deepen our own understanding of that truth, and even our own experience of just how tremendous is the mercy of God, how available is the mercy of God through the church. Even as the standards of living the perfection of the Christian life are high, the accessibility of mercy, the availability of confession, is always higher. Amen. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.